You can make a lot of money by getting divorced, but you can make even more if your spouse dies. And even the prenuptial agreement gave her substantially more of the marital estate if he were to die.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we're all just trying to survive in a rough world.
What's up, STS Nation, and welcome to another episode of Surviving the Survivor, the podcast that promises to bring you the very best guests in all of true crime. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there, Carm, including
you.
Are you enjoying your Mother's Day? You're blushing a little, Carm.
Very much.
You're enjoying it. She had a nice dinner out with her grandkids, and we just did the All-American barbecue. So Carm is all Mother's Day'd out and ready for the podcast. And for this Mother's Day, we have a sordid Mother's Day tale. Utah mom Corey Richens stands accused of murdering husband Eric by spiking his celebratory Moscow Mule, that is a cocktail, with fentanyl, five times the lethal dose. And he died immediately, basically, after having this cocktail. After 39-year-old Eric's death, 33-year-old Corey Richens wrote a children's book about grief, and she promoted it on local television and even dedicated it to the father of her three young children, who she now stands accused of murdering. So just when we thought we heard all the crazy with Lori Vallow Daybell, now we are introduced to a woman named Corey Richens. And for this, we welcome our best guests. Greg Skordis was on our show all the time for Lori Vallow Daybell. And guess what? He is Eric Richens, the husband's family's attorney. This happened in Utah, and Greg practices out there, and there's no better criminal defense attorney. So he is repping the family. He has practiced law since 1982, began his career as a prosecutor at the Salt Lake Legal Defenders Association, and is now a veteran criminal defense attorney. And the man you don't see, because he's not on yet, but hopefully will be momentarily, is Dr. Roger Rhodes. He is a senior therapist at the Pace Center in Greenville, South Carolina, specializing in dysfunctional relationships, and he's worked with inmates inside the prison system as well. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter. We're at Podcast STS. We're on Instagram. You can listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts. And you can become a Patreon member to support us and also a YouTube member. And Carm is doing a special Patreon YouTube member event this Thursday night. And now I know why I can't see, because I don't have my glasses on. The merch store is open. And without further ado, we are going to get cracking here. Once again, a happy Mother's Day to everyone. Obvious first question to you, Greg, is how is Eric Richens' family doing tonight? Obviously, they can't be too well. Not Father's Day, but Mother's Day. But the kids, they have three boys, are obviously going to face a uncertain future and not a great one in light of what happened.
So, yeah, Joel, that's a great question. He was actually murdered in March of 2022. The family put him to rest. It was obviously very traumatic because he did leave three young boys. And they've been working with the Summit County. That's where the Park City and some of those areas, the ski areas and whatnot, are located. They've been working with the county attorney's office and the county sheriff's with respect to this homicide ever since then. And it took almost 14 full months, Joel, for the county attorney to file charges against Corey, against his widow, for the conduct that occurred. And it was because it just took a long time. And as you know, because you and I have talked about some pretty gruesome murder cases over the last few weeks, it just takes a long time for the prosecutors and county attorneys to get things together. There was a lot of forensic evidence. There was a lot of other things that were going on. And finally, charges were filed. I know your question was, how are they doing? They are having to, unfortunately, relive his death now that these charges are filed, because, you know, they kind of moved on a little bit. But now there is a criminal charge. It's an aggravated murder charge. And they're back in the news again.
And so do you you represent, because I know he has sisters, right? Are you representing the sisters and the parents, or is there anyone specific that you are representing here?
So I'm really just more of a spokesperson. I know I'm an attorney and I've been on your show many times as an attorney, but they don't really need a lawyer per se. I mean, they're crime victims. And in that sense, I'll be standing in for them and making sure that they're treated fairly. But I'm the family spokesperson right now. And I'll help them with anything they want in terms of victim advocacy. As you know, I've done some work with victims in the past as an attorney, and I think that's what I'll be doing here. Corey was arrested on Monday, I think. She had her first hearing on the 8th. She's being held in the Summit County Jail, and she'll be having a detention hearing this week on the 19th to decide whether she can be released on bail, and if so, what that bail amount is. But it's an aggravated murder case, which is the most serious charge you can have in Utah. It carries the potential of the death penalty, and so it's probably unlikely that she'll get bail.
Wow. So she would be potentially in jail until her trial then, correct?
Yeah, I think that's what the family would like. It's certainly what the county attorneys would like. It's entirely up to the judge, but there's a presumption against bail for aggravated murder charges in Utah for obvious reasons. I mean, because the stakes are so high, it would behoove a person not to stick around. But if there is bail, I would assume it's going to be seven figures. I don't know where she is financially. She certainly is alleged to have taken a lot of money from Eric, her deceased husband. But a lot of that's being tied up by some pretty aggressive lawyers on the family side as well.
And we're going to get to the specifics in just one moment. A very quick programming note, just because it's kind of coincidental. Tomorrow night, we're wrapping up the Lori Vallow case. We've got Skye Borgman on, who directed Sins of Our Mother once again. On Netflix. She's coming back to join us, but along with her, another Skye, and her name is Skye Lazaro, and she just happens to be Corey Richens' criminal defense attorney in this matter. She's not going to be speaking about this. She's not commenting on this case, but it is a small world. Greg, I assume you know her.
Skye's a great lawyer. She's a very, very good lawyer. And it's sort of coincidental that this case comes right at the end of the Lori Vallow case. You and I have talked about that case several times on this show, and I think we both correctly predicted what would end up happening on that trial, and it did, of course, Friday afternoon.
Many people have said Happy Mother's Day to everybody except Lori Vallow. Maybe that applies to Corey Richens as well. Carm, I know you, and we're going to get to breaking down this whole case over the next hour or so. But Carm, you've been chomping at the bit. You said you have a lot of questions tonight. Roger Rhodes is MIA. You're a licensed therapist. People say that they are. By the way, Hugh Hefner says that Carm will get her numbers up. Of course, Carm's gripe is Sunday night. Sometimes I give her less high profile cases, although this is going to be very high profile. And when the top, there he is.
Mother on Mother's Day. I'm happy camper.
There he is. And Roger Rhodes, your Wi-Fi is looking sweet. So we're just getting into the nuts and bolts. And Greg is the deceased husband's lawyer, but I was just reading this comment here. So, Carm, your numbers will come up when the topic is of greater interest and someone previously broadcast topics assigned to her. You are the sleeping giant about to erupt, Carm. Yay, Carmella.
Oh, my God. I hope I didn't get up already and I'm on decline or something.
Carm, what's your question for Greg? You said you had too many to count.
I have a bunch of them, but start with one. Organized. First of all, this place where the family...
Greg, welcome to Sunday nights here. Sorry.
Camas. Where is Camas? Am I mispronouncing it?
She's asking you about the town in Utah.
Yeah, so it's Camas. It's a mountain community sort of east of Salt Lake, sort of close to the Wyoming border. A beautiful, beautiful valley with the beautiful rivers, not far from... three major ski resorts, Park City, the Canyons, and Deer Valley. And it's just a quiet little bedroom community that, you know, I used to go fishing there when I was a kid. It's not far from Salt Lake.
Mm. Raj, okay. Sweet Serenity, Raj. We're going to get into the details, Raj, but just right off the bat, Sweet Serenity says the world has gone mad crazy. Is this true, Roger? Do we need to be worried?
I'm just wondering about the Northwest. It seems like the Northwest is out the box. Man, us in the South. Well, wait a minute. I guess it started in the South with Murdaugh, and it's traveling up to the Northwest. That ought to tell you something. If in the low country of South Carolina and the mountain area of Utah I have crazy people, that pretty much says America crazy.
Well, I assure you, everywhere there are crazy people. Even where we are proof that there are crazy people.
Oh,
everywhere.
Man.
I can assure you, with Raj and Karm on the same show, there will be some craziness tonight. I'm gonna have to rein everyone in, and poor Greg doesn't know what he's in for because he's usually on.
Good luck.
I was staying with Camas, which I'll always mispronounce. Staying with the family, and if I understand it correctly, it's a prominent family in that area. That's what I read. That they are well known and they've been there for a long time. They are established. The community knows them. They're respected.
Is the Richens family a prominent family in this part of Utah, Greg?
Absolutely. And Eric was a very prominent businessman there. He had a stone masonry business there with his partner, Cody. They were very successful. He was really known as a philanthropist in the area. Worked with kids a lot, coached his kids in soccer, baseball, basketball. And he was just very, very well known, had a successful business and his family's there too. I mean, it was a close knit family that, and in Utah, it's not uncommon with families like that, for them to sort of stay together, Carm.
I tried to, find out more about Corey's background and I failed.
Do you know anything about, she was interested in where Corey comes from, where she's born. Carm's a psychologist. She likes to know people's backgrounds, Greg. She knows.
I don't know a lot about her. She was an employee at a local hardware store where Eric did a lot of business. He saw her a lot there. I think they struck up a friendship, sort of a flirty relationship there, and ended up getting married and had three beautiful boys. And of course, it ended tragically, just horribly.
Okay, so a lot of people don't know this case, so I'm gonna start to break it down before Carmella goes on her game of 21 questions here to try to figure out the answer. But Sunix writes, or Sunix, I'm not sure, not to blame the victim at all, but would like to hear Carm's take on why someone would eat or drink anything offered to them by someone they thought had previously tried to poison them. So he was poisoned with a fentanyl cocktail, allegedly, by his dear wife, but she had tried to poison him previously on Valentine's Day, and we're going to get into that. But Carm, let's say your husband, may he now rest in peace, my father, tried to at one time poison you. Would you be much more careful moving forward?
This was exactly the next question I was going to ask. It doesn't hold, and doctor will agree with me, it doesn't make any sense to me psychologically. I cannot explain. After he was almost died on a trip to Greece, the husband, Eric, he almost died and he suspected poisoning. And then he almost died on Valentine's Day. He suspected poisoning. And I cannot understand how he stayed around and made himself almost like into a sacrificial lamb.
Greg, it's interesting because I've seen you interviewed on a lot of shows about this. And you could never ask this question about a woman. You would take a lot of heat because it's basically victim shaming.
It's not victim shaming, victim understanding.
But he wanted, nonetheless, Greg, I believe they had three young boys, and he did not want to leave his boys. Can you elaborate on that?
It's exactly right. And I was going to say, Carm, part of the reason is just the reason that you're sitting on the left side of one of the most important people in your life. And he and Eric wanted to stay with his boys. He wanted to maintain that family relationship. He wanted to hope above hope that he could save the marriage. I know it sounds crazy, and a lot of people have just asked this repeatedly. Carm, your question is brilliant, but why would you stay together with somebody who's alleged to have tried to hurt you? And the reason is three reasons, really, those three boys.
Well, I'll tell you something else. Nobody likes to be wrong, okay? And if I've chosen this woman and I believe she's the one and I've had kids by her, boy, I really have to top a mountain to get over the fact that I messed up and married someone who wants to kill me. That takes a lot of inner strength to do that. And most people don't have that.
That would hold water if she wouldn't have been, if he wouldn't have been considering divorce. I read that he was, right, he was ready to file for divorce, correct?
Well, that's called marriage. I don't know anybody who's married that at some point doesn't say, what was I thinking?
Yeah. Well, that's a great point, Raj. Well, let's take a half step back here again. So first of all, it's great to see Shaquille O'Neal. As you guys know, I'm convinced this is the actual Shaq here. Candy says, thank you for the show. We appreciate it. Sarah's been checking in and tweeting. Happy Mother's Day, Carmen, everyone. So good to hear from her. And Madeline also, happy Mother's Day. Shaq says, this is one of the craziest stories. If she did this, this is pure evil and the nerve to write a book about it. I'm speechless. So let's take a half step back. First of all, Greg Skordis is the deceased husband's spokesperson slash attorney. The widow, now Corey Richens, is charged with first degree aggravated murder and multiple counts of second degree possession of a controlled substance with intent to distribute. That's what the court records show. So Eric was 39 years old. He actually died on March 4th, 2022. So that was a little over a year ago at his home in Camas, Utah. It's about 40 miles south of Salt Lake City. It turns out his wife allegedly spiked his drink with fentanyl, and then she went off, Raj, and wrote a book, a children's book, about grief, saying that, you know, the kids and her were really struggling through this whole process. And the book was called Are You With Me? She appeared on local Salt Lake City, I think just a month before the arrest. I said this on Friday. In Yiddish, there's a word for this. I don't know what you say in Oklahoma, Raj, but in Yiddish, she called it chutzpah. What about this added twist that not only is she accused of murdering him, but then she wrote a book about grief and she dedicated it to him?
In Oklahoma, we call that show me the money. That's what Okies say. Hey, it's all about the green. That's what those Okies say. So, hey, if I have an opportunity to make a nickel, boom, jump at it. That's all. Really, you go back in another word for it, be greed. You know, is she greedy? Yeah.
Yeah. So, Greg, to you, is the motive here? Is it financial? Because I know she tried to steal money, and again, we'll get through these details as we go. But she tried to take something like $100,000 out of his account, and there was a whole issue over a house that they had purchased, which I want to ask you about. And the house was no cheap house; it was a $2 million plus home, a 22,000 square foot home. It's insane if you Google the picture of this house. So was the motive, in your opinion, financial here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing else to explain it, Joel. And there were a number of things she did, not only with respect to the house. She attempted to change the beneficiary of his life insurance policy. He had one set up with his business partner under what we call a buy-sell agreement. She changed that. It was changed back. She forged up some other documents and took some other things that were... And even with respect to this house, which I guess we're going to talk about in just a minute, I mean, she could see the writing on the wall, and she knew, and I think any family lawyer will tell you this, unfortunately, sometimes a woman or a spouse is better off as a widow or a widower than as a divorcee. They can make their, and even the prenuptial agreement gave her substantially more of the marital estate if he were to die than if they were to get divorced. So, I mean, it's one of those situations, Joel, that, you know, you can make a lot of money by getting divorced, but you can make even more if your spouse dies. And it's always, you know, people just get a little bit greedy. They just, you know, it's not enough to make X dollars. They want X plus one. It's always the same thing.
In the name of love.
And Raj, I was going to ask you, and then Carm can bounce in. But Raj, when you look at a photo, this couple, I mean, she, and I said this Friday as well, she's a very kind of sweet looking person. Like, I mean, never in a million years, one out of, you know, if you gave me 100 murderers on a spreadsheet and asked me to pick which one, you know, she'd be number 100, the last person I would ever pick. She just looks kind of demure, sweet, harmless. What's the deal here? Obviously, she is not. You can't judge a book by its cover, can you, Raj?
Well, I think what you're talking about is a pre-thought. See, she was already thinking about this before she met this guy. She was kind of trolling for some idiot to take money from. And boy, he was a huge fish, and she was looking for the bottom line from day one, okay? What she's really good at is looking innocent and faking it. That was what she was doing. And finally, she had held her breath emotionally as long as she could, and she just took him down.
Well, allegedly, she also, he accused her, or he suspected, I don't know if he told her this, but he suspected of her being involved with somebody else from the beginning.
Yes. Can I easily see that, Carm? You bet. You know, she didn't get marriage is all in, okay? To be married, you got to be all in. And she put her toe in, got married to him. Could she have easily kept a guy on the side? You bet. Could she have held her breath until she did him in? And probably the kids got her more money. It's why she had kids. She stayed with him, and I love that she jacked with the legal system and the law. Yeah, but that's the way, you know, and it's scary what we're seeing. It's how ignorant some of these people are that somehow law enforcement and the structure of the law isn't going to catch them. They're in some kind of fantasy world. I guess they're watching too many Dateline shows of, well, I can put it together, and I can, quote-unquote, fool them. We hadn't seen that.
Hey, Greg, well, I started off by asking you how the family is doing, Eric's family, but obviously the most important consideration are the kids. Can you tell us, are they with family? Have they been put in a foster system? Are you able to tell us how they are and where they are right now?
Yeah, they're doing very well, Joel. They're with family. They're with a close family member who cares very deeply about them. They are together as siblings, which is healthy in that respect as well. And they will, by all accounts, be taken care of. I mean, Eric had a pretty broad range in family in the area. He still has his father, like you've indicated earlier, his two sisters still live close by. Other more distant relatives are in the area. The boys will be fine. They're going to be very well taken care of. Consider they lost their father and may very well soon lose their mother for most intent and purposes.
Wow, so tragic. Ellen Hawkins writes, she's talking here about the Valentine's Day poisoning. He had something on Valentine's Day and then broke out into hives and had to inject himself with one of his sons. By the way, the sons age in a range, I believe, from 6 to 10. So they're young kids. But Eric, the father, had to inject himself after breaking out into hives with one of the son's EpiPens. And Ellen is asking, do they know what the allergic reaction was to? Do we know, Greg, what that was all about, that Valentine's Day attack?
What we know, Joel, is that there is a drug dealer here in Utah, a woman who has come out and indicated that she, in fact, sold drugs on several occasions to Corey, opioids each time, and sort of in increasing dosage. And they were sold at the time when these events were occurring, when these we call them poisonings, whatever you want to call it, were happening. I think, but for that witness, this case would have been a little bit harder to crack. But once this drug dealer came forward and said, you know what, I've sold drugs to this woman, and I sold fentanyl to this woman. She started out with oxy, and of course, that didn't do the job, and then sort of a lower dose of fentanyl that didn't do the job. And then she went for the home run and bought a fairly significant dose. And like you said at the top of the show, put it in a mixed drink, Moscow Mule, whatever that is. As he drank that, he lost it. So I know in terms of the allergic reaction, I can only assume that it was somewhat related to these drugs that he was given allegedly by her, prior to the time when she gave him the fatal drugs.
Ashley Smith says, move over, Oprah. Move over, Dr. Phil. Dr. Raj is in the house. That is my prediction. He will take their positions in TV lore. How about this infidelity claim by the family that she was having an affair? Do we know anything about that, Greg?
Well, I hate to speculate, Joel. I really do. There has been some talk that she was hanging out with somebody really throughout the entirety of their marriage and may have had some paramour on the side. Who knows? I don't want to speculate about that. But it is something that's been talked about. It is something that that apparently Eric was aware of, or at least made aware of, whether there was any confirmation of that, whether anything was ever proven, or whether Corey's ever willing to admit that. I can't say, but that was certainly a rumor, Joel. And I probably am best just to leave it at that right now.
And there are some new revelations that have surfaced, which I will get to momentarily. Candace says, hello from Zion National Park in Utah, not far from where all this is taking place. Laura Waldy is making sure that I'm on my best behavior. Hi, Joel, Carmen, best guest. Happy Mother's Day, Carmen. I hope you had a lovely day, and hopefully Joel was on his best behavior. I'm trying. I've decided that maybe Sunday night is not the best night Carm gets here and called me and said there are groceries because we were having a grill. She said, get out here and get the groceries. So that's how it all started.
That's all the good mom, Joel. That's what moms are supposed to do, show up and tell their kids to get it done.
And then I waited. I purposely waited a few extra beats, Raj, before I said Happy Mother's Day. And she said, you going to say Happy Mother's Day? Or she said, it's about time.
No, I didn't. Something along that. This is
yeah.
It could be something
there
like that.
There were no witnesses.
Greg, Sarah's asking, and I think you, he said, how much time could she get? This trial should be much shorter. She could get the death penalty, you said, right? I mean, potentially.
Exactly right. Right now it's charged as an aggravated murder. And in Utah, that's the only crime that carries the death penalty. We still have a death penalty in murder, in Utah. And the state hasn't elected yet, and they don't have to, whether they will seek the death penalty in this case. But if they don't, there are two other options. And that's, I know these sound kind of weird, but life in prison and a life in prison without the possibility of parole. So there are three sort of alternate sentences that are potential in a case like this. Safe to say, if she's convicted in this case, she will never get out of prison alive.
Does she have a family in the area?
Yes, she also has family in the area, although I don't know of them very well, but she does have family in the area.
How old is she? I'm sorry.
33.
33
yeah, she's, for her. She's a few years younger than Eric.
Okay. Anybody before Eric?
Say that again.
What was she married to someone else before she was married to him?
I don't know that. I know Eric was, but he didn't have any children in his prior relationship. But I don't know if she was. Okay. They met just through some business that he was doing at one of the local hardware stores where she was working, sort of struck up the relationship, fell in love. She would have been fairly young, Roger, so I don't know that she would have been married before.
Yeah,
that phrase, fall in love, loosely on this one.
Yeah.
She fell in want, I think, but I don't know about in love.
Right.
Hey, Greg, so apparently Eric, and this is according to, I think, comments you have made in the family, that he was looking into getting a divorce. He was hung up on it because of the boys, and at one point had changed his power of attorney, his will, and the beneficiary of his life insurance policy from his wife to his sister. Number one, is this accurate? Number two, do you think that's what triggered Corey to take this violent move?
It's accurate, Joel. And I think that Corey didn't know he had done this until she assumed that she was going to get the money and didn't realize that he had made these alterations in his estate. I'm sure she was pretty disappointed after she had committed this crime, allegedly, and it wasn't getting the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that she had expected. But he expected, or suspected, I should say, that something fishy was going on and that she was trying to hurt him. And so he made some arrangements to protect his assets and his children.
So he made an effort to protect his assets, but he didn't make an effort to protect himself.
I know. And Carm, you've made that clear, and I understand exactly what you're saying. I mean, you're smart. You're a psychologist. You practice in this area. You know, some of us just fall in love, and we do things for love that maybe you wouldn't do. And I don't pretend to understand why people do the things they do for love, but it certainly has made a lot of attorneys, including myself, busy to deal with people, both in their family situations and then their domestic problems. But love creates all kinds of problems, and we don't understand it. She was beautiful, and I'm sure she had some qualities that Eric thought were, I mean, he had three children with her. He probably thought she would make for a good mother and wife and life partner. And all the while, she was being very deceptive to him.
Yeah. Those are called bankable qualities.
Right.
That's the first thing you need to think of. And the Bible says pride comes before the fall.
Right.
And boy, a lot of people marry in the name of pride. They call it love, but it's really not. I found somebody. I believe they're right. I'm going to put my vote there. And they don't count the costs. And his counting the cost was slow, but not fast enough.
Exactly right. I mean, there's certainly some writing on the wall. I mean, there's no question.
So Roxanne A. writes, Joel, she gave this guy two rounds of fentanyl. The first round didn't kill him. The second one did. He had five times the lethal amount in his system. And we all have heard about fentanyl on the news, and it's part of a massive crisis in this country right now. It can kill literally a horse in moments. So five times the lethal amount, he had no shot. A. Heineman writes, Happy Mother's Day, Carm. I can't believe Joel's making you work. Of course I am. We love you, Joel. There's no days off. Catherine writing in here from Aloha, from Hawaii, the native land of Lori Vallow, sort of. Not really the native land, but you know what I'm saying. She was buying fentanyl on the black market, Roxanne says, $900 worth. The guy that sold it to her, Greg, if I heard you correctly, the dealer is a woman?
That's correct, yes. The woman, the person that sold her the fentanyl is a woman. And she's certainly, her name hasn't been disclosed, although people have figured out who it was. She came forward to the police. We don't know why, whether it was out of a sense of guilt or whether she had her own issues to deal with, and said, hey, by the way, I've been selling this woman drugs on several occasions, including on the last hit, $900 worth of fentanyl. I mean, that's, like you say, a lethal dose. It was probably five or more times what the therapeutic limit would be. And it was the kind of dose that even a healthy man like Eric, his body just couldn't withstand it.
Greg, I hope your wife is no longer in the room, because this is the third comment I've seen like this from Ashley Smith. Greg Scordis is so handsome, ! So there you go.
Now he blushed.
Yeah.
But I wanted to.
Michelle Burns has a question for you, Carm. Okay. Carm, help us understand how the husband, knowing that she was trying to kill him, would stay with her. Oh, similar question. And take a drink from him. What was on your mind just now, Carm? I cut her off. We were just on Court TV together, the two of us, and I cut her off.
The funniest thing. You should really put up that scene.
I don't have it, Carm. Otherwise, I would. Things don't just magically appear, Carm.
Nothing beats family.
We were on Vinny Politan. No, for some reason, that guy invites us on his show. It's like the primetime show on Court TV. And I happen to talk a little, and I got admonished by Vinny. So now she's trying
Now the bigger question is, Carm, were you flirting with him?
Yeah. Other way around.
Oh, my God. At 83, I flirt with everybody.
Other way around.
All right. There's a brother.
Carm, you've asked me that same question. Now it's being asked to you. Why would he stay with her? I mean, you have an answer for that too, don't you?
I have a few thoughts, but it will probably be controversial. And one of them is that this was his second marriage. He failed already once. Probably in his family, it was not the norm, and it was probably not easily accepted in his milieu, in his culture, in his family, in wherever he lived. And he was like very, and he, just looking at him, he was so wholesome, and he was so, he looked very, a very straight person, and he didn't want to have this stigma that he's a twice divorced man. So he kept postponing the inevitable until the tragedy happened. I have another question unrelated to this, but I will let the...
Carm, go for it. You're on a roll.
If I
and it's Mother's Day.
If I understand, yeah, I should get special treatment.
You should be hosting solo tonight. I should have a day off.
So relax, I'll host.
All right, go ahead.
Anyway, there was an interesting part that just, if I understand correctly from my readings, that now she cannot touch any money. She has no access to money. Somehow she... The wife was blocked from any money, not only her half of the money or her percentage of the money. There are some legal reasons for her not to be able. And she is now appealing that through her attorney, Sky Lazaro. And she's appealing it, saying that according to the prenuptial agreement, she should be able to touch this money. You are the attorney, and you probably have...
Greg, where do we stand on the financial... First of all, she's in jail, so she's not going to be spending this anytime soon.
Well, on the attorneys. She has to spend it on attorneys.
Well, she does have to spend... That's a good point, Carm. So where are we financially here, Greg? Has he cut her off?
Yeah, so she has a good attorney who deserves to be paid and probably wants to get some piece of that. But Utah has, and I think a lot of states do, we call it here in Utah a slayer statute. I know that's kind of a weird word, but what it essentially means is that if you can't benefit financially from your own criminal acts. So if you kill someone and you benefited by their life insurance, or in this case, even the book that she wrote, you can't financially benefit. And in fact, the victim's family, his children and others, could claw that money back. And so the litigation that's going on right now is to decide, well, first of all, if she's criminally culpable, and if so, she may not be able to have any of his money. And if she's not, then I guess we fall back on the prenup. And although the prenup is kind of messed up too, we talked about that earlier, because it had one provision for them getting divorced and quite another for him dying before she did. She stood to make a lot more or gain a lot more money if he died before she did. And so I know this sounds horrible, but he was obviously worth a lot more to her dead than divorced.
Dr. Rogers is shaking his head. It's almost like when they wrote the prenuptial agreement, she already had the idea of murdering him.
Oh, wait a minute. She was hanging out at the hardware store, you know, trolling
him.
Yes, and I want to say right up front, I love the idea of the negative family thought of two divorce, because that really fits in. Yeah, that is a great motivator, and I think is at the core of why he didn't back off or get out quicker.
Well, thanks for your support.
Well, interesting.
If it's good,
So Candace writes here, she needs to write a book about how to cope with having your mom in jail for killing your dad. That's an interesting twist, and we'll get to that. We'll get to the book in a minute. Tali is in Israel, Carmela, the land that you hold dear to your heart, the Holy Land. What happened to the good old days, Carm, when you would just divorce? Lately, it seems everyone prefers to kill their spouse. What's going on, Carm? They don't do that in Israel, though.
Well, not everybody.
In Israel, they just yell at you. But what's going on? Why are more
not
people?
Not everybody. We talk about people who do it, but I'm sure there are many people who get divorced, and they even have amicable divorces.
Teresa writing in from Ireland saying hello and writing in Gaelic, which I won't even pretend that I know how to read, but it says 100,000 welcome. So I love that. So as the great Greg Scordis was saying, Eric, the now deceased husband, they had three young boys, and he was involved as a soccer coach, a baseball coach, a basketball coach. He wanted to keep the family together, came from a prominent family. He did well himself. He was a good dad, and that was a big reason they think that he did not want to separate from this woman. The night of the murders, this is interesting, Greg. Digital forensics seems to get everybody. Corey Richens originally told authorities that the night before her husband died, that they were celebrating because she had closed on this $2 million home, and she made him this cocktail called a Moscow Mule, and that he took it to the bedroom and he drank it sitting in bed. She said that they kind of had this celebratory toast, and then she went and slept with the boys. Something woke her up at 3 a.m. And when she went to check on him, he was cold to the touch. But digital forensics shows that phone was locked and unlocked and moving around. Is that going to be the critical evidence, do you think, to dispel her story of what actually happened that evening?
I think it's one of the critical pieces of evidence, Joel, that will help put together the state's case. Because if she is surprised that he's struggling, she's going to take some significant efforts to help him. But if she's the cause of it, she's going to take some efforts to avoid him and to let him suffer and ultimately die. I think there's one thing, part where she even claims that she tried to perform CPR on him, but the medical experts said nobody tried CPR on this guy. We would have known. And from what we saw, it was never attempted. So it appears that she was moving back and forth and turning off her phone and turning it back on almost to check on him to see how her attempt was working out. I mean, it's creepy, but that's what it really looks like from the outside.
But Karma's like a first grader. She's got her hand. She's trying. Go ahead,
I am
Karma.
Trying desperately go ahead, to put Karma. In my. But here is why it doesn't make sense. Because she says we drank a celebratory drink. And in the meantime, the contract was not signed that evening. The right. contract was not even signed. So that was a huge lie that they were celebrating, because she signed it after his death.
Correct.
The following
next day. Absolutely. No, you're right.
Wake up.
So, Greg, what happened with this house? Because he did not want, she wanted to buy it allegedly to flip it. It was a $2 million right. home that she wanted to fix up and sell for $5 million. Which, by the way, I think is on the market now, right now, for like $3.7 million.
I think that there is a buyer.
It might be. But it's a massive, massive, massive house. Raj, again, I'm going to need therapy for my mom and I.
Oh, man. I love your mom, man. Jesus.
This show is taking years off of my life.
I have a 3-point-something.
I'm either writing a book about this madness or I'm in the middle of it. But no matter which way you slice it, it's taking years off of my life. But so Greg, what is... What's the deal? Is Carmela accurate? Did she close on the house? And where did she get the money from this house? Because he had caught her stealing, which we'll get into, and kind of had her under wraps. So what was the deal with this home?
Well, she thought they had the money. She thought he was putting together the money. She didn't realize what was going on. I mean, he was getting nervous about the house thing, and it was her idea. And I think she'd been dabbling in real estate or was getting a real estate license or doing something like that, and had decided that this house was worth buying and then fixing up and flipping. I mean, it was 22,000 square feet. It had something like, it slept like 60 or so. I mean, it's an unbelievably big house. But I think they were buying it for $2 million. She hadn't closed. Carm's exactly right. She signed the closing documents the next day. And I mean, it's not like she had thought this out as well as you might have thought. But they weren't celebrating the house the night that he died. They weren't celebrating that at all. The celebration was the next day, and unfortunately, he was dead that day.
Well, it's obvious that this woman was not the sharpest pencil in the bunch. She's pretty dull. Pretty dull.
Well, Raj, that was going to be my next question.
I think a lot of people feel that with the opioid crisis, that if somebody dies of an opioid overdose, in this case, fentanyl, that law enforcement's going to go, oh, well, there's another one, another person that abused drugs. And they may not take as close a look into the goings on in a case like that. I mean, you're exactly right. You know, people don't think these things out, but as a murder goes, a drug overdose of a drug that people often overdose from was, you know, at least had some, I don't know, some sense to it. I don't mean to give her any credit at all.
The drugs have come from the ether. There's the big thing. I mean, right. It had to have come somewhere. It could not have, like fairy dust, arrived in the drink.
Right.
And my thought also is, did she have a habit of sleeping with the kids instead of him?
There's no evidence of that at all. No evidence of that at all.
Ooh, that's so convenient. I'll go sleep with the kids while I poison my husband.
While you drink this cocktail. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the grand finale for the celebration.
Hey, Greg, to you. So what took, I mean, you kind of mentioned it in bits and pieces at the beginning, but he was murdered sometime in March of last year. What took until this past Monday for the arrest? They had to have the toxicology reports back a while ago. Do we know why it was held up for so long?
I do, Joel. And unfortunately, I can't talk too much about it. I mean, the investigation didn't go as fast as some people would have thought. And I got to be careful here. But law enforcement looked at the case. And like I said a minute ago, you know, fentanyl overdoses happen every day in a lot of cities. And so perhaps there wasn't the idea that this could have been a homicide at the outset. The family was very anxious to persevere and wouldn't let up on this. And law enforcement didn't let up either. I just think that it took a little while. And it also, I'll call it the snitch, but the drug dealer came forward. It kind of made the case a lot more clear. And just figuring out the paper trail, the money trail, the timing of things, it just took a while. An inexcusably long time, I wouldn't say so. A year is certainly a long time. But, I think it's better knowing the county attorney up there in Summit County, as I do. She's a very good prosecutor. She's one that wouldn't file a case just because she had a good shot at it. She's one to wait until she has a very good shot at it.
And you have to ask that area manpower.
Right.
You know, I'm sure they had limited manpower. It's not like it was Metro Dallas that they were looking at this. This is up in Utah. Man, right. It's
that's a great point. And Greg, with this drug dealer, was law enforcement on to this drug dealer? Was she on their radar, or did she simply come forward out of the ether?
It's a little bit of a combination of both. I mean, she wasn't on their radar. They didn't know who Corey was purchasing the drugs from. They knew that there had to have been some source because she didn't have a valid prescription or anything like that. But once the drug dealer came forward, and there may have been reasons for that too, she may have had her own issues, or she may have had a sense of guilt. But once she came forward and her story corroborated exactly what law enforcement learned, which was drugs bought on this day, a sort of a sickness, an overdose that didn't kill, drugs bought on this day, bad reaction, didn't kill, major fentanyl bought on this day, and the cause of death is major fentanyl, it really made the case for the state much stronger.
Raj, yeah. Alec Murdoch, Lori Vallow, now Corey Richens. Why don't these people think, number one, about the consequences, and why don't they plan this stuff out better if they're going to do it? I mean, With Murdoch, seems like it was premeditated. Maybe he just lost his, you know what? We don't know. Seems much more premeditated. But why not plan this out if you're going to go forward with it?
Well, the one thing all of us are bad at is evaluating the level of our intelligence. And people who are not well really over-evaluate. So that's what we see, the commonality of Lori and Alec and these. Wow, they really aimed low, thinking they could outsmart the law and the lawyers and the system. Wow, they so missed the mark there. So Carmen, that's one of the things that is a commonality in all those cases.
And you just applauded
of their expertise and their abilities were way out of sight and did not match. And because it didn't, it got them in jail.
You just got a round of applause from Carmela on that statement. Carm, anything you'd like to add to that?
No, I like the assessment, but I think it's very, very, and I am not a crime expert, but I think it's kind of hard to have a perfect crime.
Ooh. Carm, hold on a sec. Did Carm just say she was not an expert at something?
A caring mother, Joel. Come on.
I have it recorded. Yeah. You know the old joke that's a little offensive. But
no,
the
Joel, don't say that joke. It's nasty.
The difference
between, you're going to get a lot of blowback.
The difference between Carm and God. God does know everything. But she just admitted she doesn't know everything. So.
Carm, don't buy into that.
I'm godlike.
But look at this.
I'll read all the comments. The people that listen think you are close to God.
Gentile, speaking of that, it's Carm night. Our watching now numbers should match our likes. People are worried that you're not going to be happy with your ratings, Carmela. So Ned Smith follows that up with...
Well, if it's an objective rating, fine. But if you give me backwater stories, then it's your fault.
Ned Smith says, please hit the like button.
I love it.
Don't do it for my kids, which is what I usually say. Do it for Carm's ego. Another one, Greg. Look at this. Jersey Jen. Handsome Greg in the house. I seriously hope Mrs. Cordes is not watching right now. So it's not going to bode well. So, Raj, I want to ask you about this and my mother.
If you're asking me why they don't think I'm handsome, I don't know that either. But hey.
Don't worry. You get those too. Don't you worry. I'll pull those up. Someone comment that Greg's handsome, please. TV appearance. A month prior to her arrest, which was literally 1 month ago, she was on a show called Good Things Utah for an interview about her book. And she began the interview, Raj, with a backstory on the death of her husband. And she said he died suddenly a year ago and that his death, and I quote here, completely took them all by shock. Again, what in the world is going on here? That, I mean, it's one thing to kill your husband, but was she just trying to, I don't know, put it in her mind, which did she write this book as sort of collateral, as insurance that someone would say no one could possibly write a children's book about grief and kill their husband? So I'm going to write a book because then no one will think I did this.
No, I think her need is a bottomless pit. And was the TV show part of trying to fill that pit? Was killing her husband part of that pit? Was taking the money part of the pit? Yeah. But that ought to tell you the depth of this woman's needy pit for being acknowledged, being noticed. You know, that's very sad. But it's out there. It's out there. A lot of people have that. They're scary.
So she said that she began researching to quote unquote, this is a quote here, try and understand not only how to grieve as a widow, as a wife, but also with my kids, how to help them understand what just happened. In the interview, she was asked how she was able to process her husband's death and write the book in only a year. By the way, it's a kid's book with illustrations in like seven words. So
it's the child's version of the Kubler-Ross theory, right?
Correct. In response, yeah,
no, man, it's not that.
She said she was looking for resources to help her family cope and couldn't find anything. So she says, I just wanted some story to read to my kids at night, and I just couldn't find anything. So is this also ego? She's the only one that could author a book on how her family, how her kids could grieve this death. Does this play to her ego?
Ooh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, she is pure ego. And I guarantee you, she looked at other people who had written children's books on national TV and gotten a lot of press. And, well, if that, you know, she wouldn't have to be too dumb to get, hey, I can write a children's book and get the same kind of press too. And maybe make some money, man. It's all about the money.
Greg Scordis, one person wants to know if this is the same area where Gwyneth Paltrow got into her ski accident. Look right here. This is Frankie Figg. Is this the same area?
Woo-wee, Greg, I can't wait to hear the response on this one.
It's the same county, the same courtroom. The same courtroom, literally. Yes.
How small is
it? Happens to be, and it's not. There's nothing in the water up there. It's a beautiful part of the state, it just happens to be the exact same county where the Gwyneth Paltrow trial was heard.
And Mardella says, "What's with Utah and Idaho, followed by so many shenanigans, murder shenanigans in Utah, Colorado, and you can put Idaho on that list, but let's not fault Greg's state. It's a beautiful state.
I think there is an equal distribution of crime in the 50 states.
Yeah, I would say
they are rotating. You know, one day it's in Colorado, one day it's in Maine.
Roger Rhodes, what about this?
Carm, you said at the start, crazy's everywhere. Exactly. It's not only in America, it's
a great consolation for psychologists.
Yeah, they've been killing people since the dawn of man. Let's not act like Utah has some special privilege of killing or no. It's the nature of people.
Raj, two things for you here. Hive mind concussion. Narcissism, she or he writes, is the cancer of the 21st century, followed by, was Corey motivated solely by money? First question first, is narcissism the cancer that, you know, TikTok, Instagram, where you see these people taking selfies all day long, that's not helping the ego business at all. But is narcissism the new cancer?
It is reaping what we're sowing, you know?
No, it's really... Exactly, because I was thinking maybe this is all now the product of Dr. Spock.
Oh, right? Man, your mom's going way back now, getting Spock.
Go, Carm, finish your sentence, no, Carm.
We created the monsters.
Yeah,
Greg and I both are like, let's end this early tonight. This is,
I think there's a saying that says you reap what you sow, and I think narcissism is what we're reaping from, you know, saying everything's wonderful, everybody's wonderful, there's no losers, and what it has taken out of the consciousness of people lately is what I would say is accountability. It is amazing how people want to act like all they have to do is say not me. And everybody's supposed to go, oh, since you said it's not you, then we'll let you pass. That's kind of a natural. No, you know, if you make a choice, there's a cost to that. And we are seeing in these cases the consequences of idiotic choices, you know. And we have a history in America of people making idiotic choices, but they get consequence. And that hadn't stopped yet, thank God.
Hive mind concussion follows us up. This is interesting. I did not know this. And maybe Greg can let us know if this is in fact true or not as my iPad goes flying. Corey's mother couldn't take the children claiming mental illness. So she couldn't take them. Her father and mother divorced, and he later passed from alcoholism. Do we know if these are true facts, Greg Scordis, about the now widow's parents?
I don't, Joel, and I'm sorry. I don't know that her mother was ever in line to take the children when she got arrested. I think that Eric's family took care of that immediately, and I don't know anything about her mother and father, and I don't know that it's even matters. It would be sad and tragic if that occurred. I don't know that it's even related to what happened here. So, yeah, I apologize, Joel, but I don't know the answer to that, either of those questions.
I think it would be sad and tragic if this were true, but it sure has the profile for somebody to have a child like Corey.
Yeah.
Raj, this is, I didn't even think of this. So we started our true crime odyssey with this case, the Dan Markell murder case, where it was a guy who went to Harvard undergrad, Harvard Law, and he was teaching at Florida State University, and he was shot in the head twice and murdered by what was alleged to be his ex-wife's family. The ex-brother-in-law is going on trial soon for this. And that woman, Wendy Adelson, the ex-wife, wrote a book also, a fictional book, kind of loosely based on what happened. So Teresa says, I see Corey wrote a book about being a widow, something similar to Wendy Adelson writing a book about Dan's death. Is there some sort of, I don't know, a cathartic, something cathartic in that where they're writing to maybe deal with
the guilt? There would be if there's no money involved, is what I would say. Okay. If there's no money involved and you need to write something to process it, Joel, yeah, okay. But boy, you got to watch out. Everyone you bring it up, there's money involved. So do I think it's about catharsis? No, I don't think it's about. I think it was the beginning of wanting money. It was the middle of wanting money. This is the end of wanting money.
By the way, the crazy in this story is not done yet. I'm getting to some more in a moment. But look at this comment, Carm. Joseph Louis Jean Conforto. I love that name. Watching, and he capitalizes every episode from Wells Beach, Maine. Simply put, the best true crime show anywhere. Thank you, Joseph Louis Jean Conforto. I think it's a miracle sometimes that people think this.
We appreciate it. Yes, we really appreciate it.
We don't understand it, but we appreciate it.
It's the Carm touch that makes the difference. Come on, own it. Own it.
It's always. And by the way, Raj, you're getting a million comments like this. Dr. Raj is always right on. I love when Dr. Raj is on. I'm just highlighting the Greg Scordis handsome comments because he was taking his wife. So.
If it looks like a duck, it's a duck. If they're saying Greg's good looking, well, I hate to bring it to Greg. He's good looking and his wife's got good taste. Way to go, wife.
I really wanted to see Carm and Roger's take on the book thing as I had sort of thought maybe it's a classic diversion or sort of the way to, I mean, to take the focus off you if you're even alleged to be a suspect, you know, do a book or do something big, do something that really takes a different angle. I don't know. If people do things like that for that reason, or if it's just like Raj says, it's just show me the money.
Well, a piece of it is there is a personality that craves the spotlight. Okay, if there's a spotlight, they're going to find it and they're going to get in the middle of it. That's what the books are. It's a spotlight giver. Okay,
now just imagine her sitting at home with the three boys. How boring is it?
Oh, yeah.
So she has to, she says, okay, what could I do now? I can get on television.
She was having an affair though.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's not exciting anymore.
Come on, Joel. Book writing and affair? No.
Raj, how about this question from History Underfoot? Okay. Did she have the book planned in advance? If you had a bet, do you think she was planning?
No.
I think she was flying by the seat of her pants. Okay. In her world, she was gonna kill him. She was going to get the kids. She was going to get the money. And in her greatest dream, she got rid of him. That didn't happen right away. So she had to think on her feet. The book was a think on your feet. All this other stuff is a thought on your feet. And she's going to reach the consequence of really poor thought out choices.
You know, I always say, Joe likes to repeat it, that the use narcissistic is overused. It's like the latest in vogue diagnosis that everybody puts on everybody. But in her case, I think she also needed, imagine her in this small quaint town with these three boys that she had to drag back and forth. And what else did she have? How could she make herself exist and be noticed?
That's a good point.
And this was like, she was on TV channels, interviewed.
Ooh-wee, buddy.
And, yeah.
By the way, I was thinking.
Her book was on Amazon.
Maybe Sunday night I hand the show over to you and Dr. Raj. My only worry is you get 700 million views.
He cannot deal it. If you get higher ratings,
yeah,
than
if
that,
you get,
he will be depressed the whole week.
Then I couldn't deal with him. Raj, look at this. Mardella Rowland says, Dr. Raj, why didn't he just take the kids and seek custody? Because he was.
Okay, I can answer that, Joel, very quickly. One word. Family.
Okay? That's what Greg said, too. Okay.
That was not this guy's nature. He came from family. He was part of family. He was following the rules. Because that's where he came from. If he would have taken the kids, that would have been considered out of character. And he would have lost the support of his family if he had done that. He wasn't going to do that. That was not part of who he was. And she was counting on that. She was counting on him being a good guy and staying in the lane. So when, like Carm said, she got bored, she killed him.
Carm, before you hop in, Janine says, Happy Mother's Day, Carm. Followed by this one. Hold on.
I wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and grandmothers.
Charles Coey writes, Your mom is too cute. You're so cute, Carm.
Oh, my God.
There you go, Carm. I knew that was coming.
She's too cute until she's your mom, and you got to deal with it. But I
have a legal question for our.
And look, right on cue, Knightwood writes to save me. Love is a funny thing. Yes, it is. I do love my mother.
Love is a many splendor thing. Anyway.
Carm, try to have the question teed up without having to read all these notes.
I cannot. This is a legal thing. I have to ask the attorney.
Okay, they're all listening. You don't have to whisper. Go.
Corey should not be forced to choose between waiving her constitutional rights or effectively forfeiting her civil claims. What does it mean in lay terms? Because this is what her attorney wrote. This is her attorney, Sky Lazaro,
will be on our show tomorrow night for Lori Vallow, Sky Lazaro. But go ahead, Greg, did you catch that? She wants to know what that means legally.
Well, I think what she's trying to say is that she's got this criminal case and she shouldn't have to give up her rights to remain silent or to have her attorney and to pursue the criminal case just because she's got this civil case. And when you have parallel criminal and civil cases going, it's really hard for the defendant to answer questions in the civil case, because they can be used against them in the criminal case. And it creates it's sort of a chilling effect on your constitutional right to present your case and to cross-examine your witnesses and to speak your mind. If you've got a pending criminal case and you're in a civil case, your lawyers are going to tell you, hey, you can't answer that question. You need to invoke your Fifth Amendment right to remain silent, at which really makes it hard to defend your civil case, if that makes any sense.
Which the civil case involves the money.
Yes. That's all.
Greg, Sarah had a previous question, and I'll just toss this one to Raj. But to you, she asked if Corey Richens, through either her own words or her attorney, has she spoken out at all since her arrest? We know.
I'm not aware, but...
Greg, do you know?
I haven't heard anything from her at all.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. And then, Raj, I'm sorry. Sarah says, how was she so bad at doing this, the murder? It's almost as if she didn't care if she got away with it, almost like Lori. What do you attribute the lack of preparation to?
number one, that's apples and oranges, okay? Lori had her own dialogue, okay? She lived in a world by herself that she made up. I don't believe this woman did that. No, I think that she had a predisposition, a plan ahead of time, and she was following the plan, okay? She, I would believe straight up she wasn't as smart as Lori and was not as delusional as Lori. She had, I think this was a dim-witted plan by her. She's not smartest pen in the quill right there. And that's what you saw.
Yeah. And Raj, Carrie G, to your point, another pretty face committing atrocities. It seems like men are at a disadvantage when they report their lovely wives acting suspicious and threatening like Charles Vallow. There are some similarities to be made there. Again, if you guys have not seen a photo of Curry Richens, she's about the most benign. She's an attractive young woman, but about the most benign looking person. Like in my head, I cannot compute that this woman could kill anyone. So it's worth a Google.
Wait a minute, Joel. Have you ever been fishing?
I have, not often, because I'm a Jewish guy from New Jersey, but occasionally.
Isn't it important to hide the hook?
Yeah.
And the best fishermen have a way of hiding the hook and attracting the fish. She had a good distractional mindset, and she was looking to catch a fish. But I bet she never thought she'd catch as big a fish as she got.
And, Raj, what about this? Observation station says, trade a lush life for prison cell. Great plan, Jackweed. I mean, why are they not thinking? I mean, why?
Well, wait a minute. I don't think they're capable, Joel, of thinking.
I mean, I just don't understand.
You know, these were the slow kids in school. you don't see. I mean, Ali Murdaugh was a very, very smart man.
Yeah.
But he wasn't smart enough. Lori was delusional. And her story didn't sell. And here the facts are catching the culprit. And it always will when you come around with slow-witted people. You got to be real smart, and you've got to cross all your T's and dot all your I's not to get caught.
Yes, yes, ma'am, Carmela.
Thank you, sir. is there a chance, when this case is presented to a jury, is there a possibility of her getting off without going to jail?
There's always a possibility, but Greg.
I want to see what.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, we had the same conversation about Lori Vallow, and I think the state put on a good case, and we felt that they were going to prevail, and they did. It looks to me like the state has a good case here, but you don't know what's going to happen, Carm, and that's a great question. There may be other things that we learn about the case through the defense that we don't know right now. For example, we may learn that this drug dealer is making this story up. It'd be hard to imagine because she corroborated things that she wouldn't have known had she not actively been involved with this woman. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the standard in America is quite high for a conviction. It's what we call proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And if the jury has doubt that she committed this murder, Carm, then they would find her not guilty. I think the state has a compelling case. I think if witnesses show up and evidence comes in the way the state's articulated so far in their probable cause statement, I think they have a very good case. But yeah, there's always a chance that a jury can say, we just don't think the evidence is there, and find her not guilty.
Yeah. I think there's a better, Carm, you can't ask every question, Carm. By the way,
Carm, OJ. That's all I have to say. Okay. That's, you don't know till it's all over, you know, till the fat lady sings, you don't know the verdict at the end. There's the dance of jury held justice.
Raj, help me with this one. Gail Bassnight, hooked on this show. Thanks, Joel, and happy Mother's Day, Karen. Best of the best. How is it that we have more than one viewer, Raj? Because if I was watching this train wreck of a show, I don't know that I'd stick around.
You
but
have
I guess-
very conventional views of shows.
Wait a minute, Joel. If you're driving down the highway and there's a wreck, how many people are going to slow down? Just one? Or is it going to cause a tremendous traffic jam?
Well, I appreciate SCS Nation watching this traffic wreck.
Yeah, they're good.
It's called rubbernecking.
It's traffic a little more normal the other 6 days of the week. By the way,
thank you for rubbernecking.
Carm brings this up. By the way, Carm can't. Shaquille Oatmeal says, I love Vinny and the Court TV crew. We were on that show. She calls him Winnie, like Winnie the Pooh, which you can't say or do. But I think he likes that as well. Rod, to Carm's point.
It's not nice.
Greg, to Carm's point about her getting off, I think there's a much better chance of her being incarcerated the rest of her life. But is the death penalty a reality here? Is Utah generous with their death penalties? Is it safe for someone like this who is obviously a malignant force in the world?
Utah is not generous with the death penalty, considering what a conservative state it is. And I've only practiced law for 42 years, but I can't think of a single woman in Utah that has received the death penalty. I don't think it's likely that she would get the death penalty, a mother of three, notwithstanding the egregiousness of the crime. I think it'd be hard to get 12 jurors to sit and unanimously agree and beyond a reasonable doubt that she deserved the penalty of death. But in Utah, like a lot of states, judges decide the punishment in all cases except death penalty cases. And in a death penalty case, the jury decides whether that punishment would apply. If you recall, they took the death penalty off the table in the Lori Vallow case in the weeks before trial. And so the jury didn't have anything to do with the sentencing. But if they had the death penalty on and the jury had convicted as they did on Friday, we would be going to another trial that we call the penalty phase, where the jury would decide that. My guess is that the Summit County Attorney will not seek the death penalty in this case. But I don't know that from anything other than just my experience.
And there's a little more crazy I want to get to, and then we have got to let Greg Skordis go. But Tali asked an interesting question, which I don't want to ask of Greg unless Greg wants to jump in, because he's representing the family of the decedent. But Tali asked, and so I'll ask you, Raj, since you're not a lawyer, what could her defense actually be? Put on your lawyer hat. What do you think her defense attorney might drum up as a defense to all this?
Her defense will be, I didn't do it.
Right.
I'm a victim. I'm a mother. You guys are mean, nasty people. This is all about his family being vindictive to me. I'm innocent. I believe that is where her stance will be.
You should be a defense attorney, Raj. So here's
man, I'm not smart enough for that. I promise you.
Here's the additional crazy. So. She, as my mother said, she closed on this home the day after he was killed. She signed on this home that's been in question. And then right after she signed on the dotted line, her husband was dead less than 24 hours, I think. She threw a massive party at this $2 million home. It is a 10-acre property. She had people over. They were hanging out, drinking. 22,000 square feet. It had a basketball court, a swimming pool, a theater room, a golf simulator, and a rock wall. You want to Google this house too. I thought it was a giant, like a condominium complex, but this is their home. Raj, less than 24 hours later, she's having a party. What does that, I mean, in terms of a diagnosis, what does that tell you? Why wasn't she laying low?
Because she had been planning since meeting him that he deserved it. And it was her reward for what she believed was a plan well made. And she certainly wants to praise herself and have other people praise her. And why would she miss an opportunity to do that? And she's going to say, well, I did that because I'm innocent. I did that because I was happy, and I'm sad he died, but this is just proof that I'm innocent.
A couple of quick ones for Greg here, Raul, a friend of the show. Greg, how did she finance this unfinished mansion if the monies, I think at this point, were sort of being separated and delineated? How did she do this? Do we know?
I don't think she knew that they were going to be separated and delineated. I think she thought that once he died, she would have all the money in the world and she could finance this thing very easily. I don't think she fully realized the steps that he had taken to preserve his assets, the fact that he had changed the beneficiary on the life insurance, the fact that he had changed back the buy-sell agreement with his business partner, and then took her off that life insurance policy. So, I mean, she was banking on some things here and didn't realize that although Eric died, that he was at least concerned enough about what she was doing that he was protecting his estate.
And how about this?
The radar is what you're looking at. See, right. Always consider that he wants to keep this out of the view of his family. You know, he doesn't want to admit that something's gone wrong or she may be dangerous or whatever. So all of that was done, what we would consider under the radar, for not her, because he didn't trust her, but he was very concerned about his family and what they would think. And so he was trying to cross all the T's and dot all the I's under the radar of his family.
Laura Waldy, Greg, was an autopsy done due to how young he was? How was the fentanyl death explained in the beginning? Did the wife try to convince people he was an addict? All good questions. Can you answer any of these, Greg?
Yeah, I think I can answer all of them. So the autopsy was done both because of his age and because it was what we call an unattended death. He wasn't at a hospital. He didn't have any illness or anything going on. And he was an otherwise healthy person. So our medical examiner here, as in most states, would perform an autopsy to determine the cause of death. In terms of the fentanyl, because of the opioid problem that we have in America, it was an easy explanation for her to say that he had a drug problem. But the family knew, Joel, the family knew that he had never abused drugs, that he'd never taken drugs, that he wouldn't have used opioids. And I know that's easy for me to say because you never know who's using opioids in your neighborhood. But he had no history of opioid use. He had no history of drug use at all. He had no family history of addiction or drug problems or anything like that. He was healthy. He was an outdoorsman. He was an avid hunter. He was on a search and rescue up there in Summit County. He coached his kids in all the various sports that they played, soccer, basketball, baseball. I mean, this was a man who took very good care of himself. And so the people that knew him knew that this was unlikely a person that would abuse fentanyl. And I know, the people abuse it all the time. But I think the family knew, they saw through that in a New York minute. Mm.
Speaking of New York minutes, Daniel Malloy says, a $2 million house here in Philadelphia will get you a very nice townhome. In New York City, it will get you a pretty nice condo. In San Francisco, it gets you a studio. Utah, a castle, evidently. By the way, I saw that photo and immediately said to my wife, let's move to Utah. And she said, I prefer the beach. So I live in a glorified garage, but I'm near the beach, everyone. So you've got that. His name is Dr. Roger Rhodes. You will soon know him as Oprah Rhodes. I have faith that you guys are going to take over the great Oprah Winfrey. One day you will just know him as Raj. That's it. Just Dr. Raj. Dr. Roger Rhodes is a senior therapist at the Pace Center in Greenville, South Carolina, specializing in dysfunctional relationships, about the best business you can be in, it appears these days. He's worked with inmates inside the prison system. Raj, any final thoughts on this latest story of crazy? What's your bottom line with this Corey woman? What's her deal? How do you diagnose her? What do you say about her?
sad, not sharp, consequences of her actions. I wish her husband had put a little more speed, and if he did, he would be alive today.
We have a Karm for president. We have, look at this, Raj, you're included. Three handsome men. Thank you. And then Ned Smith said,
if I'm in with Greg, I'm in the zone.
Three handsome fellas and a beautiful woman. Thank you, Ned.
Thank you. Thank you. Is that another
one? Look at this, Raj. Look at this. From Jersey, Jen Castaldi. Dr. Roger, you are hot. And then I love your mom. Karm, before I.
Those are two different ones.
And then look at this one from Julie Frew. I hope Greg. Oh no, Dr. Raj. Dr. Raj is more than handsome. He is the best. Look at that from Julie Frew.
I think everybody's giddy tonight. It's not only us.
It's not just Mother's
Day. Mother's Day clothes.
Once a year, we should be recognized.
White Roses says that Dr. Raj always raises the vibe. You can combine that with Carmella, and it's a slippery slope. Karm. How do you diagnose? Let me reverse this for a minute. Let's say I was married to my wife. My wife poisoned me and I died. Would you be upset with me that I did not catch this and stop it?
I would make you stop it before.
There we go. Good mom.
I would save your life.
You would have saved my life. So what's your diagnosis with this Corey Richens person? How would you diagnose her?
I don't think she, honestly, and I'm not victim shaming at all, but he had, you know, my husband, may he rest in peace. He always said when a couple has a problem, almost always it's 50-50, you know, it takes two to tango, and it's not, you know, one person only. In this case, it was a disturbed woman married to a man who let it happen. And I'm not victim shaming. I think it's a sad situation. And for whatever the underlying reasons, it happened. And it's a tragedy. It's another American tragedy.
Yeah, what we need to be better at vetting partnership, okay? Too many people, I think it was Marie Chevalier who says, men spend more time picking out a suit than they do picking out a spouse. So this has been around for a long time.
Yeah, because you pick out, they say it's the most important decision of your life.
Right.
And you make it when you are really not ready to make it.
By the way, Sarah
and
says,
a lot of,
Joel, I hope your book is better. My book is definitely on a children's level par, so I can't guarantee you that. Here's an interesting take that neither therapist thought of. Corey has a weird left side hair part. Maybe she has a bald spot. And someone else said that altitude can screw with your brain. So, but look at Greg Skordis. He is the voice of reason. Smart man, and he's up in those mountains, seems very with it. And speaking of Greg Skordis, he ran for Utah Attorney General as a Democrat. He represents the family of the deceased Eric Richens in this twisted case. He's practiced law since 82. He started as a prosecutor, now has a very successful criminal defense practice. Greg, what is the next step for the family here, and what is the next step for Corey Richens? When is that initial hearing for her?
The 19th.
The initial hearing was Monday the 8th, but the first hearing that matters is on the 19th, and that's the one to determine her detention and whether they'll set bail. I think the family is just happy that the charges are brought. They're not going to be active in the prosecution or try to push one way or the other. I don't know that they're even going to be attending court appearances except maybe virtually. So they're comfortable with what's happened. They're hoping that justice is served, and they feel like that the government is doing a very good job in this case, Joel.
And Ned Smith, final question, Carmela, was Joel a good boy tonight?
No, he didn't say tonight.
Just in general.
Yeah, there you go, Carl. In general, Joel, from the date of birth.
You know what the answer is? What's your definition of good Good boy.
I think Beverly has the answer. She says demonic, but I think she was talking about someone else. And then someone else says, Dr. Raj is a silver fox. A quick programming note. Tomorrow night, we are recapping the Lori Vallow-Daybell trial. We will have with us Sky Borgman, big get, director of Sins of Our Mother on Netflix, as well as Sky Lazzaro, who is representing Corey Richens in this very case, but she's coming on to speak about Lori Vallow. We have Tim Jansen, and it is going to be quite the show. So check us out live tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we will tell you the rest of the week's lineup when we see you tomorrow evening. Until then.
I'm doing it.
Love you, America.
Love you, America, and happy Mother's Day.
Love you, Utah. Love you, South Carolina, and love you, everyone, everywhere, all over the place. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Day.
Love you all.